Good morning, Antioch. My name is Drew. I have the pleasure of serving as one of the elders here, along with Joel and James and Darius and Patrick. I'm really excited to have the opportunity to take this second installment in our Blessed series and talk about listening with care. Patrick was traveling this week. We realized we probably need to give him a break, let him focus on what he needed to focus on. And also, I think the elders realized that if you all needed some practice in listening, we ought to put the person up here who would be most difficult to listen to. So you're getting some hands-on learning today, as we like to say. But he got back, Patrick got back pretty late on Thursday, and we put him straight into one of our classically long elder meetings. These usually go a couple hours. I don't mind. I love them. I have a few theories on why they go super long. One reason is these guys just love to get together. The elders love each other as brothers and friends. We love to talk, encourage each other, point out scripture, remind each other of the truth of the gospel. And it's hard to stop doing that when you're with other men and you're just so aligned in vision and purpose. That's one reason. Another reason they go so long is that I like to ask really weird and dumb questions, and I really can't help myself. And at this point, I think James has just baked in like 10 minutes for Drew to just sort of get it all out before we can actually start talking. I like weird questions, such as, what's your favorite kind of bird? I think I started a meeting with that one. Owls. Do you guys think of Mexico as North America or Central America? That was from this last week. And I would have liked to have started a debate, but it's mostly just me babbling. Or one of my favorites, how do you think all of our fingers got their names? Like, just think about the names we have for our fingers. They're all different. There's no one. What's an index finger? Like, what does the Dow Jones have to do with? I don't. That's fine. You guys are kind of reacting how they do, so it's okay. I realize when I ask stupid questions, I'm not really looking for, like, real answers, because they're not real questions. I'm looking for someone to engage in some silliness. I want to be goofy. I want to see if someone else wants to be goofy too and ask dumb questions back at me. I love that. And I'm trying to get my stupid thoughts out so that I can start to be serious, right? But in all seriousness, I think sometimes I struggle a little bit to truly listen, to ask questions and actually want to know the answers. I think I'm good at the silly questions, and I think I'm not always very good at the hard ones, but the hard ones are the ones that we know we need to ask. I find it hard to ask real questions that necessitate real answers, but I want my neighbors, my coworkers, my friends, my acquaintances, even relatives, I want them to feel like I'm the kind of person who, when I say, "How are you?" I actually am interested in the real answer. No half-heartedness, no waiting for my turn to jump in, no interruptions, just listening. I want someone to feel that I'm the kind of person who is ready to listen if I ask a question like that. And I don't know if I always convey that. I've had moments, even this year, with people, non-believers in my life, and they've opened up when I've asked a real question that necessitates a real answer. And in those moments, I can feel the weight of, oh, they trust me. They're willing to be vulnerable. They're actually giving me the how are you that I was looking for, not just fine, okay, how are you? And that feels like weight. That feels like responsibility when someone's willing to answer a real question with a real answer. And also in those moments, I have felt the Holy Spirit moving too. I've felt the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, this is why I want you to listen to answers like this, because this is how you get at people's hearts. And this is how I, the Holy Spirit, work through you to get to people's hearts, right? So I want more of that. I want to be seen as someone who really cares, who's interested in listening with care and responding well. Listening, I truly think, is an act of love and humility. By listening with care, you are implicitly telling someone else, I value you more than me. I want to hear you talk. I want to put you up and bring me down. I want to hear what you have to say. That's an act of love, right? Putting someone before yourself. And I don't know if I always think about listening as love, but I think I should. So, on that note, we're going to talk a little bit today about how I, and maybe you, listen poorly. examples from the Bible of how to listen well and some truths about listening, and then maybe some tips, some ways to create a more conducive listening environment so that we can try to bless people with the blessing that we've received. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray that your word would speak through all of this. Your Holy Spirit bears witness to the gospel through us. And in listening with care, we enable others to experience that blessing that we have. I pray that you would guide our hearts and minds today and work through the words that I share. In your son's name, amen. So, our blessed series is centered on the truth of the gospel, the good news that Jesus came to the world as a man. He lived among us. He taught us how to live, how to worship, how to serve our God. He was crucified after living a sinless life. He was raised from the dead. He was resurrected and seen by all of his followers. He ascended into heaven to prepare a place for us with him. His sacrificial death paid the penalty for our sin. I've got up on the screen Isaiah 53:5-6, which is a perfect encapsulation of that. He was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So Jesus' death was for that. And in order to make us blameless before God, his resurrection proved his power over death, as we read in John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus' power over death seals the promise that someday we will be with him in paradise. And this is what we place our hope and faith and trust in, this very good news, the gospel, the evangel that Patrick talked to us about last week. So I was reminded this week by another member of Antioch just how important all of that, the centrality of the gospel, really is to everything we do and everything we say and everything we care about here at Antioch, and every church ought to be centered on that, right? And the acronym BLESS is here to try to help us take that and share it in a practical, meaningful, regular way. It can be pretty difficult. I don't know about your relationships, but when I think about my coworkers or acquaintances, I don't know if I could take all of that and then drop it in someone's lap and say, okay, you know the good news. So anyway, what are you going to do about it? It sometimes feels a little awkward or clunky or disjointed, or you're not quite sure how to take all of that, which you believe and know is true. How do I fit that into my relationships where we've never discussed this before? BLESS is here to help you get there. We started by beginning with prayer, and now the L in BLESS stands for listen with care. That's our second step. And I felt some weight actually off my shoulders this week as I thought about the truth that the Holy Spirit has its own power. The Word of God, Scripture, has its own power. The truth has its own power. It can do its own work. I don't have to do any special work for the gospel to be true and to have an effect in someone's life. I don't have to do anything special for the Holy Spirit to act in someone's heart, right? It has its own power. I don't need to do anything any better to make it more powerful. I just need to share my story, right? And we're going to get to sharing your story. That's later in the series. But right now, we're focusing on listening. And like I've covered, I think listening's hard. I don't always do it very well. But I think there are kind of three main pitfalls that I fall into. Hopefully you can relate. And maybe by identifying them, we can all become slightly better listeners, especially when we're talking to those people that we want to bless with the same blessing that we've received, right? So the first way I listen poorly is that I listen half-heartedly. Proverbs 13:1 says, "A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a fool does not listen." So here's an example of me and Sydney watching basketball almost every night for the last couple weeks. This is me. I'm sitting in this spot. Did I think that was a foul? I mean, yeah, the defender, he kind of slides in at the last second. The offensive player had already left his feet, so it probably needs to be a block. I really don't think that the coach should challenge it. The referees almost always keep the call that was on the floor. So, no, they probably need to go small, maybe play a zone defense for a couple minutes. I said, "Did you do a load of towels?" Sorry, what? I am very, very aware that I'm a distracted person. And when I am doing one thing, I absolutely cannot hear anything else. And vice versa, when I'm talking to someone, I absolutely lose track of everything else that's happening in my life. I hope that some of you can relate, but I'm a very one-track mind. And if my full attention is on something, I have no chance in the world of hearing what anyone else is saying or doing. Sometimes that's very useful. Sometimes it's a strength. Sometimes it's a real weakness. And that's why none of the towels in our house ever get washed. Now, I can tell you, as a driver, I think I'm pretty good, unless Sydney's in the car, because then we start talking, and she engages me in just wonderful conversation, which I love, or we start debating something, right? And inevitably, I almost miss a turn, or the exit's coming up fast, and she has to stop. She has to go, babe, I hate to interrupt you, but this is our turn. You're like three lanes off. You gotta go. I'm like, I know. And I need to admit to you today, Sydney, I didn't know. I did not know. But you know why I didn't know? It's because I was listening to you. I was just so focused on what you had to say. That's why I missed all those exits. So half-hearted listening, that's definitely me. Distracted driving, you could say. Number two, I often listen just to answer. Proverbs 19, 20, and 21 says, "Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." Again, guilty as charged. I'm very impatient. Often in conversations, I think a big weakness I have is I make people feel rushed. Like, let's get to the conclusion. Let's get to the end. Let's get to the next thing that we're going to get to. And sometimes if I already have made up my mind, or I know what my opinion is, or I know what I think the answer is to some question, I'm just kind of like, okay, maybe this is one of those people that has to talk to think, so I'll just kind of let them talk to think, and then they'll get to the conclusion, and then I'll jump back in because I've already gotten there. I'm just waiting on them. That's rude. Like, I feel bad admitting that, but I know that's what's going on in my head sometimes, is that I'm just impatient conversationally. But how would that make someone feel if I'm doing that when they're sharing about hurt or pain or loss in their life, about a struggle or a weakness or a hard question with no easy answer? You can sense when someone else has already skipped ahead to the next part of the conversation and they're just waiting for you to get there, because I know I do it. How am I making other people feel if I'm doing that when we're really talking about something important? Does it make them feel valued? Does it make them feel loved the way I think listening ought to? Or are they just getting a canned response from me? So I think I'd probably be better off just saying, I don't know, or not saying anything at all, instead of trying to come up with my own answers and pushing the conversation ahead. And finally, I know that I listen to interrupt. Proverbs 18:13 says, "If anyone gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame." I did think about telling someone, like, here at Antioch, this would be a really funny time for you to, like, interrupt or do something. Then I realized we have, like, 17 toddlers, so if anyone wants to, like, scream or something, that'd be great. That'd be, like, really funny on cue, but they're not, so. Sure, the one time you need them to, whatever. In the spirit of making someone feel loved and valued, nothing really says, I'm more important than you, than interrupting. And again, I know I'm very bad at this. Sydney and I often joke about how different we are, how our relationship could be the basis for, like, a book on marriage about how opposites attract, but also have to learn how to live with each other. We've settled on a title. We would call it Sponges and Freight Trains. And I'll give you one guess on who is who. Sydney is a wonderful sponge, just a soft-spoken, empathetic, gracious person who other people love to be around, just soft in every way. We all like being around sponges. They are just great, friendly, caring people. They soak up other people's emotions and then put them back out. It's really a nice time being with Sydney. I, on the other hand, am basically a freight train, barreling down the tracks. I have to stay on time, chugging right along, no time for anything, nothing impractical, nothing sentimental, get that out of the way, rocks bouncing off of me, pebbles, what's that, mean words, those don't hurt me. Toot, toot, did I say something that hurt you? Oh, sorry, well, you know, maybe you should get a little tougher, little sponge. Oh, what was that? Did I run over something? Probably a sponge, doesn't matter. Well, sorry, did I say something that hurt your feelings? Oh, I didn't really mean it. Toot, toot, it's just words. Words don't hurt me, I'm a freight train. I did write down toot, toot, by the way. I'm reading that. And in my effort to be very practical and stay on time, boy, I love staying on time, and getting things done, I know that I'm running over people. I'm freight training them. And sometimes I'm doing it in conversations. I'm just steamrolling right over someone who's maybe naturally a sponge. And am I even aware that I'm doing that? I do it with interrupting all the time. I know my nature is working against me a lot of the times in these three specific pitfalls, but I also don't think that's an excuse. I don't think that just naturally liking interrupting is an excuse at all. Even if I think it feels like we're going too slow, this time could be used for something better, you know, we're not getting anywhere. This feeling inside me, it reminds me a lot of a story from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Listened. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." I like to think, maybe I'm projecting myself onto Martha. I like to think Martha was a little bit of a freight train, was so focused on staying on time and getting things done that maybe Mary was a sponge and Martha ran over her a lot. And yet, Jesus calls her out on it. Like, you care too much about being on time. You're caring too much about getting things done. Mary's made the right choice here, and it's listening. It's listening to me. I was very convicted reading this story again, as I am every time I think about it, when I can feel some of that Martha-ness coming up. I think freight trains all have a Martha problem, and Mary chose to listen, and that inspires me. I know I can choose to listen as well. It is a choice. So let's turn our attention towards some positive examples. I have three truths about listening that I want to share with you guys, and I hope they'll do something for you as they did for me this week. So the first truth about listening is that God listens to us. He listens to us because he cares for us. Psalm 34, 17 and 18 says, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." I see so many examples in the Old Testament and the New Testament of God showing his love for his people by listening to them. Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, Rachel, Ruth, David, the list goes on and on. People who cried out to God and he listened to them, and his love became evident in their lives because he listened, because the God of the universe who created everything was willing to hear what they had to say. That's so, so powerful. Do we express our love for other people in this same way? Do we show other people that we love them by listening to them? We don't have the same authority. We're not their creator, their God. We're not in that same place. And yet, like I said before, putting someone above yourself and saying, "I value you enough that I want to hear what you have to say." Are we doing that intentionally? Are we reflecting God's love for us, a love that seeks us out and finds us in our low points? Are we turning around and doing that for others? We've been blessed by God in order to bless other people. So let's listen and bless others in the way that God's listening blesses us. The second truth that I want to share with you is that we listen to God because we love him and we seek his kingdom. 1 John 4, 15 and 16 says, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God and God abides in him." Abiding in Christ is hard. I think it's a very, very difficult command that Jesus gives us to abide in him. It feels so vague, and any freight trains out there are like, just give me the destination. What station am I going to so I know how to get there on time, right? But focusing on Jesus, hearing what he has to say is a daily challenge. We seek after it because we love the one who loved us first. Jesus tells his followers, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the helper," right? And the Holy Spirit is going to bear witness. He uses this phrase multiple times. The Spirit will bear witness to me. In John 15, he tells his followers, "Abide in me, and if you abide in me, my words abide in you." Again, the Spirit can bear witness through you. My words will abide in you if you abide in me. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And by this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. I want to prove to be a disciple of Jesus, and I know that that means I have to abide in him so that his words can abide in me. If I'm left to my own words, it's just going to be more nonsense questions. Middle finger, that's just its location. That's just where it is on your hand. And ring finger, that's just what it wears. You don't call me a shirt person. That's fine. If we hope to grow in listening to others with a desire to see more people come to know the good news of Jesus, we must rely on the Holy Spirit to do that, to bear witness in us. To abide in Christ is to know his words and to follow them. Jesus goes on and says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." We won't be able to love others the way Jesus does until we are abiding in him. And we won't be able to listen to others the way that Jesus listened to others until we've learned to listen to him. So where does that start? Listening to what he teaches in Scripture. We have to know what Scripture says, and we have to abide in his word. Interceding for others in prayer. That's why we're making an example of this. We want to do this on a regular basis. Asking God to work in us and through us to make us more like Christ so that others might see him in us. And to help us to listen to others like Christ listened to others. Only after listening acutely to Christ do I feel we can really accurately listen to others. And number three, we listen to others because we care for them. Okay, I'm calling this portion of the show the Moose Minute. So this is where Dan Moose would start doing some crowd work and you all would glaze over and be like, wait, we have to talk? Don't worry, it's not going to last super long. But it's the part of the show where I channel my inner Dan Moose and I ask you guys some questions. So I want to hear from a few of you. Just tell me, who's the best listener you know?
Me.
You've not been listening. Okay. Anyone else? Who's the best listener you know? There's not a secret answer. It could be like your mom. Your dad. Okay, great. Oh, Callie, in the back. Your mom. Thank you. One more. Your dog. I'll take it. Okay. So follow-up question, doesn't need to be the same three people. What makes them a good listener? The best listener you know, could you boil it down into like a word or a phrase? What makes them a good listener?
Interested.
They're interested. Yeah.
Present.
They're present. I love that. They put aside what they're doing. You've read my notes. We're getting to that. Gabe.
Undivided attention.
Yeah, that's really good. Okay, last question. How do you feel when you're talking to this person?
Validated.
Known. Callie. When it's a stranger, you feel nervous, but when you talk to your mom, how do you feel? Fine. Okay, thank you for engaging in this Moose Minute. That was great. We listen to others because we want them to feel the way we feel when God has listened to us. The feeling that a prayer has been answered, that we've taken some sort of burden and we've given it up. And we've said, God, I can't handle this, but you can. And we feel heard and we feel seen and we feel known. And sometimes we can feel that from other people too, right? The best listener you have in your life is probably making you feel a similar way. Known, seen, heard. They have a lot of time for you. You don't feel rushed. We want to listen to others so that they feel that same love and that value that God has for us. We know we can't do it perfectly, but God has loved us in a similar way. So, of course, we want to try. So, some tips, some conducive things for learning. Listening. Conducive to listening. Yeah. I came up with like six. I shouldn't say I came up with. Really, Patrick did a lot of the work for this sermon, and I'm kind of regurgitating it for you. So Patrick came up with six things that are conducive for good listening, but I've put my own spin on them. Number one, face-to-face interaction, I think, is so key. Obviously, every example in the Bible, for the most part, is face-to-face. Sometimes face-to-bush, face-to-donkey, but in general, it's face-to-face. If you've ever sat on a Zoom meeting, you know you're thinking, are these people listening when I talk? Because when you're not talking, you're not really listening. It's hard. But being face-to-face with someone is just so much easier. So if you're going to try to listen to these people or the folks that you wrote down on your Frank list last week, try to do it face-to-face. I've already committed, like, if I'm going to talk to these people and really try to bless them, I have to do it when we're in person, right? A lack of an agenda. This one's big, and I'm guilty of this as a freight train. I care about being on time. But speaking to someone and giving them the sense that, I think one of you said, Cody or Gabe said, you have all the time in the world for them. There's no end date on this conversation. If you want to talk and just go, I'm ready to listen. I'm not like slowly backing out, like, uh-huh, okay, that's great. I'll see you later. Just being present in the moment and letting someone talk. Patrick is excellent at this. Every time I talk to Patrick, it's like, I know he has stuff to do. Sometimes I don't even want to bother him. But when you speak to him, it's like, this is what I'm doing right now. I'm talking to you. And we can talk as long as you want because that's what's important, because you're the person right in front of me. I will say I got him in a little bit of trouble like a couple months ago because we went out to lunch and we talked for like an hour and a half. And then he looked down at his phone and he's like, we had a staff meeting at church like an hour ago. He goes, I wonder if they wonder where I am. And I just have to say, you made me feel very listened to and very valued. The staff members that were here, maybe not so much. I can't speak for them. They didn't get to listen to you that day, but I did. Another thing that I think is conducive for good listening is curiosity. Now, if I think I'm good at anything today, I think it's curiosity. My dumb questions do definitely help. Like, Pinky, is that a nickname? Is it short for something like Pinkerton? Or it's just a made-up word. The others have actual names. That's fine. But curiosity, when I talk to someone for the first time and they say, oh, I'm like a data analyst. I'm a marketing intern. I'm really interested. I go, oh, are you the guy who does blah, blah, blah? Most of the time when people talk about their work, they're like, it's not going to be that interesting to this person. I'll just, whatever, let's skip it. But then I like to get interested. Tell me what you do every day or every week. I'm really curious. Do you like it? Why do you like it? What do you get to do? What's the best part of your job? I think I'm good at the curiosity. YouTube does not know what to do with me. I click on like every video. It's like straight from math to music theory to physics to like movie reviews to basketball. It's like YouTube just, this guy clicks on everything. I don't understand. It doesn't know what to give me. Curiosity, I think, is a superpower when it comes to listening. So cultivate it. Try to care more about the minutia, the little things. You'll find really interesting stuff. Follow-up questions. Jesus was really, really good at follow-up questions. These questions have a superpower over statements. Follow-up questions imply something. They reveal something about you. They say, okay, I heard what you said, and I internalized it, and it actually made me think of something else I want to know. And then it also reveals something about the other person because you're implying, I would like you to keep talking. Follow-up questions are awesome. And when you make a statement, that's a great way to end a conversation, but a follow-up question is a great way to keep it going. You're not only telling the person something about yourself, the fact that you're interested in them, but you're telling them that you want them to keep talking and you want them to have a chance to then reveal more about themselves too, right? Something I put in the notes for community groups this week is to read the story of Jesus with the woman at the well in Samaria. It's a masterclass in targeted follow-up questions that get to the heart of a person. Why questions? Now, why questions are also a big one that Jesus is really, really good at. These get to the heart, but you can't really get to those why questions until you've made it through some surface levels. You've peeled back some layers. I think I'm decent at this, but I could keep getting better. They get to people's passions, who they are, what they believe, what's important to them, what they fear. You can only really get to this through consistent listening with care and proving to someone that you value them. You want to know the real answers. I think you can only get to those kinds of whys when someone feels that you're the kind of person who could say, how are you? And they feel as if they could respond honestly. Finally, no judgment. This one is hard, and I think it's very relevant for Christians especially. Patrick in the notes brought up a book from a few years ago called You Found Me, which was full of research on millennials and the unchurched in America and how surprisingly open they are when surveyed to conversations about the Christian faith. But there's a very convicting set of stats in here that I'll share. non-Christians feel like practicing Christians don't have the same conversational values or skills. 62% of non-Christians would be interested in talking with a person of faith who listens without judgment, and 50% say they would want to talk with a person of faith who doesn't force them into a conclusion. But sadly, the majority of non-Christians don't think that Christians have those qualities. I was like, oh, non-Christians thinking that Christians aren't good at conversation because they're judgmental, that they can't listen without judgment, or they can't listen without trying to force a conclusion. That was kind of sort of condemning and convicting, and like, oh, I hope none of the non-believers in my life who know I'm a Christian think that I'm that way. 1 Samuel 16, God tells Samuel that none of the sons of Jesse in front of him are his chosen leader for the people of Israel. He's looked through each of them. They're all very tall and strong and kingly. And then God says this to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." If I'm trying to give up this air of judgment, I have to stop looking at people's outward appearance, their words, their actions, their lifestyle, the way they talk, the way anything about that person. If I'm holding on to any bit of bias or judgment, that's going to come across in conversation, and I never want that to be the case. The Lord looks on the heart, and I want to care about people's hearts the way that he does, if I want to bless people the way that he has blessed us, right? So am I listening to discover someone's heart? Am I listening to make my own judgments, or am I listening to learn? If it's the last, then I'm trying to respond the way Christ would respond. And again, hopefully this week you have a chance, read the story of Jesus with the woman at the well in Samaria, and you'll get a glimpse into using all of these conducive tips for listening and the heart behind his listening and behind his questions. So you guys probably thought only Patrick was allowed to give you homework, but that is not true. So last week, we wrote down names on a Frank list, F-R-A-N-C, friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, and coworkers who we want to bless with the good news of the gospel, the way we have been blessed with it. So your homework was to practice the B, begin with prayer. And we practiced it this morning as well, but I hope that you're practicing it during the week. I know I was. Don't just wait until Sunday to remember to pray for these people in your lives. So we put some names on the wall. We're going to keep remembering these names throughout this series. This week, your homework is to listen with care. I was going to make a joke about take the L, but then I didn't know if that would land with anyone over the age of like 25, so I'll just move on. Choose a friend, a neighbor. Thumb. The name Thumb just sounds like a kid got held back in sixth grade, right? Like, and that's why he's so much bigger and stronger than all the other fingers. He's Thumb. Of course you want him on your football team, just not the spelling bee. He's Thumb. Now, only Coley liked that one. That's fine. This week, your homework is choose a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, and find an opportunity to listen. Listen with care. You're going to listen because God listens to you. You're going to listen because you listen to God, and what you hear compels you to do it, and you listen because you listen to others, and you want them to be blessed the way you've been blessed, right? So do it face-to-face. If you can, that would be perfect. If you can avoid having a set agenda, or if you can have a conversation where there's no end time or date and you don't need to get away to something else, that's even better. If you can be curious, ask some weird questions, go for it. Ask them about themselves. Show them that you value them and you want to put them above yourself. You talk. I'll listen. And remember that it's the Holy Spirit that's working in you to bear witness to him. It's not on you. You don't have to make the gospel any more powerful than it already is. The Holy Spirit will bear witness of the gospel through you. Abide in Christ so that his love can abide in you. Trust that he will do what he promises. God listens to us, so we listen to him and we look to him for everything that we need. He's blessed us with such a blessing, the gift of salvation. We can't earn it. We can't repay it. But we can turn and share it with others so that they can be blessed the same way. So, Antioch, show of hands, will you commit to blessing someone else by listening this week? Yes? Good. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this this congregation of people who care about each other and care about others. Thank you for people who want to pray for those in their lives, and thank you for these people who want to listen with care. Help us to see everyone in our lives the way that you see them, God, as created in your image, as created with purpose and value. Help us to see them like that without judgment, without bias, but help us to see every person as you intended for them to be. And help us to constantly remember the blessing that we have, that we've come to know the good news of the gospel. And help that to compel us, to push us, to bless others in the same way. Your son told us in one of his parables, to whom much is given, much is required. And God, the good news of the gospel, that is much that has been given to us. Help us to feel the weight, the necessity to share that with others. So we hope to listen to others well as we also listen to you and abide in you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.